This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up, guys. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four ass coming in the rear in standard 2x2 cover formation.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Relax, we got everything in this mug, man. Look at this: CD, CB, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS.
Mind if we hear some tunes?
Hey, that'll work.
You got any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Paul Perillo.
It's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings, chestnuts, Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell? Go join the party, have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. I think so, Mr. De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip? That baby's ready to tend bar.
And Andy. And Andy?
I think it's very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
Andy Hart.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Some guy named Tom.
Machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
PFW in progress.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we know place
PFW
to go,
in progress here on a
let it snow, let
anything
it snow,
but Christmas-like November 29th. Is it November 29th? 30th? November 30th? Tell you, Christmas season is here, Andy, but it certainly doesn't feel like that outside.
No jacket for Andy today.
No, and nor should you have had one.
But isn't it supposed to, like, all of a sudden be frigid?
Over the weekend, things are going to change in a hurry.
So for the game on Sunday, it's going to be chilly?
Yeah, I heard. That's what I hear, and evidently, the Lions, it doesn't really matter because right now they're 50,
they stink.
They're 50-50 on even showing up.
I say Rod Marinelli to fly him in the morning of the game. Just get it done. Get out of here. Not waste the money on a hotel trip, much like he did in the preseason. They're going to lose either way, so save your boss a couple hundred hotel
Make sure
rooms.
They sleep on top of their sheets so they don't have to pay the room charge like the old Boston Patriots.
They used to do that?
Yeah, that's a story that Gino told me once.
Wow. Now that's cheap. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that's serious cheap. And that's Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here.
Hi, how
Gillette
are
Stadium.
You?
PFW in progress for a Thursday afternoon, as is our custom this season. We will be with you for the first hour from noon to 1 p.m., and we'll talk about the upcoming game against the Lions or a lot of NFL issues, Andy. I thought we could get maybe into some more. Because this Lions game seems to hold really no
interest,
no drama of any sort. I thought maybe we'd open up. There's a couple of interesting developments around the NFL, Michael Strahan being one of them. I thought maybe we could open it up to some of that. Obviously, at 1 p.m., we'll be joined by Fred and Tom, and we'll go around the NFL and do our picks, at which time I'm sure we'll probably continue to do some of this NFL stuff, as I see Strahan right behind you on NFL Network working out at the Giants practice facility yesterday. But as always, webradio@patriots.com, best way to get in touch with us. Send us an email. webradio@patriots.com, or you could give us a phone call at 508-543-7482. And Andy, first of all, how did it go? It was a big day for you. Did everything go well? You came in a good mood, so I'm assuming it did.
Oh, yeah. We're moving in Saturday.
Excellent. So the home inspection is complete.
I thought that was about corn.
No. We have issues with corn. And said corn christened my toilet in my new home.
But it all worked.
It was a little fat.
Won't be seeing that corn no more.
It was a fat little man who just walked around the house, looked up a couple times, said okay, walked out, and gave us our certificate of occupancy. So we will have a new home as of Saturday.
Fred Kirsch.
Well, I thought as you're speaking now, Michael Strahan's comments on NFL Network yesterday. I'm sure that most of our listeners are familiar with this. In a nutshell, here, evidently
he's a jerk.
Strahan was on his radio show early in the week, called out Plaxico Burress for what he deemed quitting. He called it. He said he quit on the play, which was the first interception that Eli Manning threw in the fourth quarter, which actually springboarded the Titans' 24-point comeback ultimately. And there's no question that he was right. I mean, Burress did nothing at all to break up that play, and that ultimately got the ball rolling for Tennessee. However, I mean, I don't think you need to be, a pro athlete to understand the dangers of calling out your teammates, and whatnot, especially in a forum like that. where you go on a, you know, a radio show and you make it public for everyone to hear. Fast forwarding a couple of days.
Classy, by the way, doing the whole thing while chewing something.
An apple. Had an apple in his in his hand,
jerk.
And he was eating an apple. Yeah, it was really bad. Evidently, ESPN sent a crew out there yesterday, asked Strahan to talk. Strahan declined, said, you only talk on Thursdays. Therefore, the ESPN reporter went to Burris to get comments on Strahan calling him out. Burris made his comments, and from there, they went back to Strahan, obviously, to get a reaction, at which time Strahan went off on the ESPN reporter at first, which is the most ridiculous part of it. A big group of reporters, obviously, around Strahan, calling out the ESPN reporter, saying, if you want to ask me a question, come up in my face and look at me in the eye and don't stand behind 10 guys and ask a question like that, which that's ridiculous. Anybody's ever been in a locker room, even if you've seen a post-game situation, there's only room for a couple of guys to be up close.
Especially
to a
Michael
player.
Strahan.
Exactly.
A veteran spokesman, great player. Those are the kinds of guys that you could see 25, 30 people huddled around.
When you're in a locker room, you get the player any way you can. And you get your question in from where. You can't wait till you get up front. Otherwise, you run the risk of not getting your question in at all.
And even more to that point, she's a producer for an ESPN crew, correct? So her...
They were calling her a journalist. I don't know.
I believe she's a producer. You know how they send people that for mm-hmm. ESPN that just ask the questions?
Yeah.
So her biggest, you know, most important aspect is to make sure her camera and her audio are close enough to get Strahan. She just has to ask the question. She just needs the footage of the answer, essentially. So it would actually be counterproductive for her to stake out a spot and try to get way up close so her
right.
camera can't be as close.
Right.
You know, the way it works is she just needs the answer on tape, so she needs the camera and the audio to be good.
So he just went off. He just completely went off on the woman.
Tried to bully her.
Yeah.
Clearly tried to bully her.
And, you know, I was just interested to hear. I know we probably have some Giants people. You know, we're in New England, and a lot of our listeners are in New England. I know there's a lot of Giants fans in New England. So I'm guessing that there's a lot of people that feel like the Giants may be their second favorite team behind the Patriots, or, you know, or something like that. There might be a lot of people who hate the Giants. I don't know. But I thought that might be something to talk about. Vanderjagt getting let go. I didn't even see these comments, but I know they just showed them on NFL Network again. Terrell Owens evidently said that they're going to regret this. It's
yeah.
a bad move.
He knows
it's going to come back and bite them.
Yeah, and he's hoping it doesn't come back to bite them, and he knows whoever made this decision is hoping the same thing, doesn't understand the move. I guess he and Vanderjagt became very close, not surprisingly, a couple of real questionable characters and team players. In their short time there.
I think they're ripe for the picking.
And he was sort of defending Vanderjagt, said he's talked to him, and just doesn't understand the move. And it's another case where the guy just doesn't know enough to shut his mouth. Even if he believes it, keep your mouth shut and don't talk about it.
So basically it's all on the table. Anything you want to talk about, anything relating, obviously, to the Patriots game on Sunday against the Lions. And I thought it was interesting, Andy. I don't know if you probably didn't get a chance to see any of the clips this morning. But
no.
John Tomasi from the Boston Herald, who is definitely an edgy beat writer. He's mm-hmm. got an edge to him, and he kind of likes to push buttons and tweak a little bit. But we know that Bill's routine every Wednesday, regardless of opponent, is to really overplay every strength you can come up with for an opponent.
Fillet?
I was trying to be a little classy, San Diego.
I thought fillet was classier. I could have said the other word.
Unbelievable. So Bill yesterday, as is his custom, went on and on about how dangerous and how explosive and highly skilled the Detroit Lions are in both offense.
And when he
can
take your center and just blow him.
Well,
see,
Tomasi,
that's not classic.
Tomasi chose to take some of those comments and then take exception with them, which is never a good idea, by the way.
There's no love lost between those two.
No. He wrote, one of the things that Bill said yesterday was, you know, you get this team in 3rd and 18, and you almost cringe because it's scary. So Tomasi writes, actually, they've had a 3rd and 18 or longer 11 times this year, and they've converted 2 of them. One of them on a face mask penalty against Jason Taylor last week. You know, so and then he went to, I think there was 3 or 4 different items that he picked and choose. And
that's tremendous. So Bill's responses in press conferences are not going to be improving or warming to John Tomasi in the coming weeks.
No, but I just thought that was kind of funny anyway, and I figured I'd point that out to you. But everything is on the table here. Webradio@patriots.com. We have some emails coming in, and since we're only with you really taking emails for the first hour or so, we usually get into them a little bit quicker, so let's go. Bill is in Malden, Mass. He's first up. It's something for Tom here. I don't know if this happened maybe late yesterday after I left with you guys. Andy, I don't know if you are on the show today, but I understand what you were saying about the Michael Irvin comments about Tony Romo. I read on CNNSI this morning that the difference between Rush Limbaugh and Irvin is that Limbaugh was serious in his comments and Irvin was only joking. Why is that even a factor? Let's say that Byron Leftwich was having a great season and staying in the pocket, showing poise and making big throws. What would happen if a white broadcaster joked about how Leftwich's great-great-grandmother must have done it with a white guy because he can really stay in the pocket and throw it? He would be fired, and there would be a huge media outcry regardless if he was joking or serious. Race is a complicated issue, but this double standard in the media has me feeling a little strange. Any comments? Well, I totally agree with Bill in terms of the double standard.
Right.
And if CNNSI, I don't know, Andy, I didn't see that, but if you're trying to make a distinction that Rush is serious, Rush was serious, and he also was not offensive at all.
Right.
Rush's comment didn't really have anything to do with race.
It was political and yes, more of a media and political thing.
Right. It had nothing to do with because he's black. It's people want him to succeed for that
he
reason.
He was not making out generalizations
There's
of
nothing
his
to do
character
with race
or his makeup based on his race, which is what Michael Irvin was doing. He was
now you could
basically
agree.
Saying the only way or one of the ways to be athletic is to have some black blood in your family history.
Right. Now, that's racist no matter how you
That
you
is like the
it.
Root of racism right there. That is
right.
like
you are something because of your race.
Right.
That's
right.
That's the root of racism. And Rush Limbaugh was simply saying that people want the guy to succeed because he's black and they want a black quarterback to succeed. No malice. No, not he's good because he's black. You know, that's a whole different can of worms. Now, you can agree or disagree with Rush Limbaugh, and I certainly would disagree with a lot of what Rush Limbaugh stands for, even though I'm probably a little bit more conservative than liberal. I think Rush Limbaugh is a whack job a little bit, but that's not the point here. He didn't get fired because people disagree with his opinion. He got fired because people think he was racist, and I don't really think what he said was racist.
To me, ESPN has bungled both of these because
Agreed.
The first one wasn't all that racist. In fact, I think it was the exact thing he was brought in to do, to sort of meld politics and media and all that into sports and
with
how
an
it
edge.
Worked. Right.
With the controversial
and this guy
edge.
Is saying something that is overtly, inherently, disgustingly racist at its roots, and yet they don't have a problem with it.
And something that was brought up at the time, the immediate reaction from two of the black analysts that were with him, Tom Jackson and Michael Irvin, Irvin in particular, he's right. Rush is right,
right.
was the first thing out of Irvin's mouth. So that's how offensive it was to the African Americans that were on the panel with Rush Limbaugh. Now, it's one of those things. If you offend one person, does that mean you've offended everybody? You know, that's enough? I don't know.
I mean,
that's for someone
if you offend
a lot
one
smarter
and that's
than
enough.
Me to decide.
Right. To me, I think Dan Patrick was somewhat offended by the comment.
Oh, I agree.
Or at least offended that his show was a forum for such a
uncomfortable.
Comment.
I would say he was uncomfortable from the get-go, and I agree with you on that.
I think he was not happy with the way that went down.
All right, Tommy is next up here, and he says he emailed in last week and said that the Green Bay win didn't really mean anything, thought that the Bears game would give a much greater insight into how things were really going, but the game didn't turn into anything special. Couple of points, though. Asante's final INT at the end of the game was one hell of a catch, and a wide receiver slash tight end would have been proud to grab it like he did. Maybe he could teach Watson how it's done. A little bit of a cheap shot there.
That's sort of what Samuel's saying of late.
Yeah,
wants the chance.
Not sure how Maroney is up for Rookie of the Week. I thought he had a good game, but he didn't do anything outstanding to warrant that reward. And
no question.
Not surprisingly, Tom.
I'm Andy. Are you talking about
Tom? No, Tom is the emailer.
Hey, Tommy.
Joseph Addai won that contest.
Well, Addai was also Offensive Player of the Week, right?
Yeah, he won a couple of things I saw.
Yeah. I didn't look. It must have been a weak week. For rookie performances, because Lawrence Maroney did nothing to earn.
Yeah, he had a regular game.
Right.
It's not like he had a bad game.
No,
he was just
but he did nothing to earn any notoriety or awards or anything. I mean, when you got a die who's had the best week of any player, essentially.
I agree. Tom continues here. Lions this week, a bit like the Packers, should just be a blowout. Anything else would be embarrassing. Love the show. How come we can't have John Rook's show as well on podcast? He seems entertaining when he comes into the studio. Any chance of that? And that's Tom in Nottingham, England.
I would rather slam dance butt naked with a porcupine than go through that again.
I bet that's a contractual thing, is it? No, Gary, just
too much. Too much.
It's a Fred Kirsch question.
Yeah.
He'll be down at 1 o'clock, and we'll ask him, and he'll say, we could probably do that. I bet it might be contractual, though, no? He's a
with
contract.
John, you mean?
Yeah, he's a contract employee, isn't he? And we're technically, we sold slaves. Our souls to this team.
Slaves.
Up out of the barn.
Oh, hey, no, hey, I didn't bring that into it.
Hey, jeez.
How about indentured servants? Is that okay? All right.
Well, you know what I thought was also interesting is, and I've heard some local Fred Smirlis talking about this. You know, he's a hothead and a gun-toting, blah, 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 whatever. He was, like, fixated on the fact that Irvin was talking about the guy's grandmother. Beyond race and all that, he was, like, insinuating that his grandmother was, like, cheating on his grandfather outside. And like
I agree with that, too.
Like a fourth-generation mama joke that didn't sit well with him. And he said he wouldn't leave the locker room if he ever said that to me about my grandmother. So I think that's another little aspect of the story. Race aside,
I agree with that. It was a
usually
you
try to stay away from people's moms, grandmothers, and
even
all
if
that.
It didn't have anything to do with race, it was an offensive thing to say. Period.
Right.
I play with them.
I play with them.
Yeah.
Meathead.
Meathead.
Pot calling.
Meathead. I play with them.
That's great. I love when they really let the guy get his point across,
right.
Though. Anyway, James is next up.
Roanoke Rapids?
Yes. He has a scheduling quirk here. While checking the schedules of the teams the Patriots are competing with for playoff seeding, I discovered this scheduling. It says quark, but I think he means quirk.
Hey, that's the program we used to use to put out the paper.
4 out of the last 5 games for both the Colts and the Patriots are against the same teams. Also, both teams have 3 of their last 5 on the road. Both teams should have near equal chances of winning out, with the Patriots having a slightly better chance of doing so. The difference is the Patriots' game this week is against Detroit, while the Colts have to face a Cincinnati team in 3 weeks that is fighting for its playoff life. Also, the Patriots will need to win out just to have a chance at the second seed in the bye that comes with it. The Colts, on the other hand, should lock up their division title with a win this Sunday.
Title.
And might lock up the first seed and home field advantage with 2 games remaining. We all know how most coaches like to play it safe after they lock up everything they can. So I'm a little confused by this. Anyway, Indianapolis, he has the schedules here. Indianapolis plays at Tennessee, at Jacksonville, home against Cincinnati, at Houston, and against Miami. Patriots obviously have Detroit, at Miami, Houston, at Jacksonville, and at Tennessee.
Okay.
I don't really understand why we're kind of comparing the Colts to the Patriots. I mean, I think it's a major long shot that you're going to pass the
no
Colts.
Chance.
I mean, I think that
three,
we have
3 games?
2. Well.
But you lose the tiebreaker,
3,
so
yeah,
3?
3, in essence.
That's not good odds.
No. And I just look at it as, you have 2 teams that you're trying to catch. One of 2 teams. If you can do that, then you get the number 2. Doesn't matter if it's 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't.
Right.
But I just don't think that there's really any way that the Colts are going to have to lose 3 of those 5. I don't really think that they're going to do that. And, you know, you're talking about locking things up. Well, they're going to keep playing until they've locked it up.
Right.
So to think they're going to lose a game, for instance, the way the Patriots did last year, when they're no longer really into it, they're not going to do that if number 1 seed is still up for grabs.
Right.
They'll still try to get that.
Right.
You know, the Patriots wouldn't have dumped that game last year if it meant the number 1 seed as opposed to number 2.
Right. Have we looked at the more detailed possibilities? Like, have you looked at who do the Ravens play? Who do the Chargers? Chargers have to play Denver again.
Yeah.
And
they both have tougher schedules than the Patriots. The Chargers have 2 conference losses right now. The Patriots have 3.
Right.
But, conceivably, if they lose a game, it'll be in the conference.
Right. But the Ravens only have 1, right? Conference loss?
No, I thought they had 2.
Oh, I thought they had 1 conference loss.
No,
they have 2 losses, but I thought they only had 1 in the conference.
Well, maybe it's the Chargers who only have one. I don't know. I forget. But they both have, you know, Baltimore plays. Well, first of all, Baltimore plays Cincinnati tonight. So that there's one right. There's one game I know they have. I think they have to play Pittsburgh again.
Gary, could you print the standings for us off something? Thank you. The Patriots have a pretty easy schedule. I mean, you still say Miami and Jacksonville are two quote-unquote losable games, but if they play well and take care of business, they definitely should win at Miami. They're the better team. Now, at Jacksonville,
well,
Jacksonville's a pretty good team.
But I look, Miami's a better team right now than they were the last mm-hmm. time they played, and they kind of played nose-to-nose the last time.
I think they're the better team. They have to win that game if that's...
Well, better team, yeah. I think that they're the better team, but that's to imply that there's no way they can lose if they play well. And I don't think that's the case.
If they play their best game and Miami plays their best game,
then
I say
think
the Patriots win. That's all I'm saying.
I think the Patriots win. But I think that certainly that's the case against Jacksonville, too.
The Baltimore Ravens are 6-1 in the American Football Conference.
Okay, so they only have one.
San Diego is 7-2 in the American Football Conference. So
Baltimore would have to lose two games in the... Well, no, just two. If they'd have to lose two games.
Right. I'm sure they have... What you said, they Cincinnati tonight, and you said they have Pittsburgh, too, left?
They have Cincinnati tonight. I'm pretty sure they play Pittsburgh.
So they have a couple conference
losable games
that
and that's
are losable.
And that's at Pittsburgh, so that'll be a tough game.
Right. So I guess there's still chances.
Well, there's only a one-game difference. So, I mean, when you're only one game behind, there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You know, you have five games to make up one. I mean, that's...
No chance to catch the Colts. None.
Well, I think the Colts would have to lose three of their five games. And I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, good stuff.
All right, so...
Breaking down the schedule of five games to play.
I think the number two seed is still realistic.
Thanks, Gary.
Still realistic, but I think the one is probably a little bit out of reach. Let's go to the Reverend Ray. How's that sound? Hi-ho.
Hey, Rev Ray.
Despite BB's flattery, the Lions blow. This is a fact.
Thought we couldn't say that.
Well, the Rev can.
They fillet.
If the Reverend can. However, we're not invincible, and even when we were, we still lost to a Steve Spurrier-led team in the Dolphins who were coached by Wanstead. So,
blow him.
Sometimes the bizarre happens. What are some things that could happen in this game to make it an actual game? Leave out massive injuries to Brady, etc. He has more of his email, but let's start with that.
Big plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think Roy Williams, you know, with a 75-yard touchdown, Eddie Drummond with a kickoff return or something like that.
With a pick for a score or something.
Certainly turnovers are always the easiest way to get back into the game.
I say it right now, this game is going to be a letdown. They're not going to beat them 35-0 or something.
No, it's going to be 45-3.
People are going to be a little worried about we only beat them by 10 points or whatever. It's going to be a letdown. You heard it here first.
I don't think so.
You're wrong.
Okay. As long as you have
I'm like Tom. I'm right.
I was going to say, as long as you have a lot to back it up like Tom does. Boy, I was vintage Tom yesterday, by the way.
Look at that douchebag.
Yep, he is a douchebag.
Did you guys fight after I left, by the way?
No.
That was as uninvolved in an argument as I can ever remember being. I'm generally the instigator.
That is true.
I'm just going to say,
I was kind of enjoying watching you two go back and forth. And you were getting madder and madder
I wasn't mad.
As the Adam Archuleta part kept coming
kept
up,
bringing,
Tom kept saying Adam Archuleta, and it kept bothering you.
Well, because we were arguing different things.
And I think that's why he kept saying
mad.
Adam Archuleta. Because he knew
Hart mad.
He knew every time you said it was getting you mad. It was making me laugh. Good stuff. Good stuff. Oh, boy. Let's see. What's next? Also, I really hope to see Castle play a bit in this game.
Got a chance.
And I think much of New England, has a bit of fondness for him, more so than we did for Rohan Davey. And we probably have a greater fondness for not losing Brady to injury.
Rohan Davey is even worse.
How close are our secondary guys to coming back from their injuries, Wilson, Scott, Harrison?
Rohan Davey is like a freaking statue.
Do you think the team is taking it slow with them because of competition we're facing for this stretch?
No.
No.
I think it's a medical decision.
I think a long-term
decision.
You know, Harrison is clearly out.
Right.
So I don't think that they're taking it slow with him like he could play. Now,
Hobbs is clearly in, right?
Scott.
He's been on there with the wrist forever, right?
Yeah.
So to me, he plays.
Right. Well, he's saying Wilson, Scott, and Harrison.
Oh.
Scott missed his first game last week. I don't know how serious that was. Did not see him yesterday or today in the locker room.
Wilson. They clearly brought him back too soon the first time around with the hamstring.
He probably went back to square one.
And they're avoiding that. They're trying to get it so it's... Because if you do it again, now you pretty much lose him for the year. If he comes back and you say, oh, now he's going to miss another three, all of a sudden now you're like basically in the playoffs and he hasn't played in a month.
I agree.
So they need to make sure that he's safe and ready to come back.
Oh, that Lincoln Kennedy's a big dude.
Word. We're on radio. Just so everybody knows, Lincoln Kennedy was apparently on TV behind us. I'm watching a different TV behind you.
Oh.
There was a Zales commercial on when you pointed. That's why I thought you were thinking about buying Beth jewelry for Christmas at Zales. And I was going to say, aren't they shady?
No, you know what we're going for now?
They're not a sponsor, are they, Gary?
we're thinking she threw something out there the other day.
Subtly or not so subtly?
Not so subtly.
You know what I want?
Well, I decided, I told you I was going to do that digital camera thing for her,
right.
Like her main gift, because I think we need an upgrade in the digital camera department. But she was talking about, you know, we really need like one of those small, like really portable upright vacuum cleaners. And I said, as I excused myself, I said,
oh, I thought the cough was part of the story.
How can I buy you a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? I said, you know what they'd do to me if I did that? She's
true.
Like, but it's what I want.
What kind, does she want a specific one? One of
no,
those like TV versions?
No,
or
we have a regular vacuum, like a nice vacuum. But, you know, you have to bring it up and down the stairs or whatever. I think she just wants something quick to, you know, around the kitchen, you know, especially after Will eats. You never know what's on the floor then.
I found a new thing that I laughed.
Are we into Christmas gift conversation
just,
already?
Just a
real
bit.
Quick.
Just a little bit.
I was
bit.
On the phone. I didn't
just
hear.
Just real quick.
Just a little bit. Deidre wants a second vacuum, so she doesn't have to have one for upstairs and downstairs. But she wants a full-size second vacuum.
Oh, yeah. No, she just wanted
she
like
doesn't
a portable
want to have to carry it. And I laughed at her. I said, are you
one.
Kidding me? How lazy can you be? Just carry it up the stairs. Well, that just got her to call her sisters and her friends. Apparently, everybody has two vacuums if you have carpet on both levels of your floor, and you just buy two vacuums. I thought it was like this unnecessary luxury that these lazy people... But
well, I think you're absolutely right.
Well, all the women folk tend to back my wife.
I've heard about this $600 vacuum that I'm eventually going to have
Dyson?
To purchase.
They didn't do well in like Consumer Reports and stuff. They're like very... they're hip, and they're the thing these days. You buy the Dyson, and...
That's what it is.
Yeah, but...
My parents have one of those fancy ones with all the bells and whistles. It can convert to a shampooer and all that stuff. It's pretty good, but... And
still
worth,
a vacuum.
Not worth the money.
But, you know, the idea with the Dyson is it's never supposed to lose its suction. And I don't know. I've just read things that they don't last like they're supposed to. And that's a lot of money for a vacuum. You can buy a couple other really nice vacuums for that price.
You sucked that bone dry.
Yep. They do suck it dry in the beginning. The question is, do they suck it dry later?
So good vacuum cleaner talk here.
No, I'm hearing testimonials by people who have it. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but how long have they had it?
It's a vacuum.
That's the question. Have they had it for 3 or 4 years? That's the issue.
Good vacuum cleaner talk here on PFW in Progress. This
we don't
kind of
just
stuff
suck. We talk about sucking.
This is the kind of stuff you just can't get anywhere else.
It's true.
But
all right, proceed.
Anyway, let's...
I was sick of it because it sucked. I say suck a lot.
Let's see. Ray finishes up. He wanted to know about the secondary. Also, if Asante Samuel signs somewhere else, we do have 2 first-round picks we could trade to get him back. Bet you didn't think of that. That's very funny.
That's
but
right.
No, you could not. Anyway... I'm going to say it again. Andy said it yesterday. I agreed with him. We keep saying every year, it's got to be cornerback and linebacker in the draft. It's got to be cornerback
this year.
And linebacker in the draft.
You know what that means. Offensive line and something else.
Kicker.
We didn't see.
TG and NJ has another Hall of Fame email right now.
TG and NJ?
Fred's about to.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is TG. A couple of inquiries for today. One, is it not good to have Tully Bantikane in the mix now that Junior is out? Does this not bring some much-needed youth and speed to the linebacker group?
I'm just not sure he can play.
Yeah, I'll answer that question a little bit better after about a month. I'll let you know if it was better.
After having my doubts, I thought Junior Seau was the most consistent linebacker this team had in the first 10 games of the year, I guess it was. Tully Bantikane has played a minimal role on this defense since Junior got here, and my story on him all along is he needs to prove to me that he can make plays on a consistent basis every down against the run, against the pass, in coverage, and I don't think he's done that yet. I don't think he's had a ton of opportunities, so I also don't think he's failed at it, but I need to see him do it.
This next part, I'm going to disagree with TG a little bit here. He says, you all seem fairly adamant that the team will not be interested in retaining Asante Samuel for next season.
I think they'll be interested. I just don't think they're really going to be able
to. I think it's going to be hard to do it, but I don't necessarily think the team doesn't want him back, and I still think that that franchise thing is probably still in play. I'm not closing the door on the Asante Samuel era in New England just yet. Anyway, given that is the case, if it is the case, who will be playing at that position? Is there other players currently on the roster that can fill the job, or will the team be looking elsewhere? Given the importance of the cornerback position, I question the assumption to just let him simply walk via free agency.
They're not going to let him walk. He's going to be bought away from them, essentially.
Right.
The price will be too much for them to – they're not going to be able to go there. Are there guys on this roster? Sure. I mean, I think you could start Chad Scott maybe and Ellis Hobbs next year, or Artrell Hawkins. Or I think there's veteran bodies that could play. Now, young guys, I don't think Willie Anders is a starting NFL cornerback. Maybe you get back on that whole Wilson back to corner thing, but we've never seen him prove that he's a starting caliber NFL cornerback. I think it's more likely that if Samuel leaves, they go after they've gone after highly rated corners in the last recent drafts. I think that'll be the case again. Doesn't ensure they'll take one, because if there's a run and the five guys they like go off the board, then they won't just take one just to take one. But I think that will be a draft day target.
All right. Let's see. I thought, this is continuing TG here, I thought I saw a quote from Asante after the Bears game in which he said that he would be interested in playing wide receiver. Is this true, or am I way off base?
No, he said it.
Oh, he said it.
He's always fancied himself a playmaker with the ball in his hands.
TG and NJ, P.S. Yesterday, Tom and Andy were playing the name game. Should we have a PFW contest for naming Andy's kid? Here are some suggestions. Brave, bleeding, tout, Fred, Vinsanity, Emmett, Chewbacca, Everett,
Boo.
Kyle,
no,
Lovey,
Lovey,
Junior, Ebenezer, and Dion.
Dion. That was pretty good. How about Lion?
Yeah, we forgot Lion.
Sure, there's some others.
I read the first two. It's like Brave and Bleeding. That all makes sense. The next one's Tout and Fred.
Well, see, I thought those were the funnier ones.
Fred made me laugh out loud.
So we can open this up for me, too, even though I don't have a funny last name that makes the names.
Well,
I could use some help in the name department.
Funny. I don't know. I heard you were Horseshack yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I was after someone called me Bill.
Somebody thought you were Bill Burt.
Bill Perillo. I'm having a lot of identity problems on WEEI. Well, he's now passed away, but he's a former columnist for the Providence Journal.
That's good. They think you're dead.
Well, as I said to Sean McAdam, who was on with me, in one of the few moments I actually got a chance to speak.
He talks more than you?
Oh, no doubt.
Wow. He's a lot more pompous than you.
Well, no doubt there either. But anyway,
I like taking shots at people.
And that's saying something.
He made a comment that, I made a comment to him when we were off the air that said, geez, you know, no disrespect intended, but I thought my days of being confused with Bill Perillo ended when he actually died. But anyway, I digress. It was Frank from Gloucester who called me Bill Perillo, so you can kind of take it with a grain of salt. But I digress. Tom's favorite paisan, PJ Naccarelli, is next up. Hey, guys, I heard Tom and Paul talking about the Heisman voting process and how it is a joke. I heard a radio show from New York called Mike and the Mad Dog Show. It is popular. It is a popular sports talk show, and the hosts are very knowledgeable. Mad Dog Chris Russo said that he is not voting for Brady Quinn because he hates Notre Dame. This is how this voting works. It is a ridiculous award. Rank that award right up there with Emmett's Dancing with the Stars award, although Emmett said it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. On to the Pats. That's basically what we were saying about the Heisman voting, by the way, and how ridiculous it was. And if they're so knowledgeable, why is he making a comment like that, by the way?
Right.
I'm not voting for him because I hate Notre Dame. It would be like me not voting for BC guys because I hate BC. I wouldn't do that.
You'd probably do that.
No, I wouldn't.
You probably would.
Not if a guy was deserving of an award, I wouldn't.
You
think I wouldn't have voted for Doug Flutie for the Heisman? Now, you know what I think about the school and the person.
Where should Brady Quinn fall?
Three.
Who's 1 and 2?
Troy Smith, Darren McFadden.
I can't argue with that. I mean, I think that's fine. I don't like
I was
Brady
one
Quinn.
Of the idiots in the stands yelling for
I think
Goody.
If Brady Quinn had played a little bit better, well, a lot better, in his two biggest games, I would give him more consideration. Not because I don't like Notre Dame. I wouldn't just dismiss him. That's stupid. On to the Pats anyway for PJ. How big of a loss will Junior Seau be? Also, when will Rodney Harrison be back? Well, since Seau is out, I guess it is now Tully time. Hey, Tout, what do you think about the Huskers on Saturday night? I'm looking at the Fiesta Bowl against Boise State. Big Red is back on the map. Eat your heart out, Rook. Great show, guys. P.S. Fred and Tom are the A-team. Well,
clearly
forfeit
you're
all your credibility there, PJ. What do you think? Nebraska, Oklahoma? I actually like Oklahoma in that game. I don't know. Even though Peterson won't play. I guess Stoops definitively said that Peterson will not play in that game.
I don't know much. I've only seen Nebraska.
That's true. Just stop it right there.
No, I've only seen each of them play
I don't
once
know much.
This year. And Peterson was playing when I saw them play, so.
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
I just think Oklahoma's defense is playing at a different level right now than it was.
Take Oklahoma. I changed my mind. I hate Bill Callahan.
I haven't seen a lot of either team, I'll be honest. I agree with Andy. I think I haven't seen a ton of either team, but I know from what I have seen and what I have been following via the highlights and whatnot, Oklahoma's defense appears to be playing at a different level than it was earlier in the season. I think that they find a way to get by. But, Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, that'll be interesting. Be another BCS team. You know, there's been like 27 different teams that qualified for BCS Bowls.
BS Bowls?
Yeah, that's good. I saw
what how long has BCS been? 5 years?
More than that. It's like 10.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, you remember Michael Vick played it, you know, that was, 2000?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's at least 6 right there, and that right. wasn't the first year. So, it's probably somewhere between, 7 and 10.
Interesting.
True or false, Illinois is qualified for a BCS bowl game.
I'm going to go true because my reaction would be false.
Yeah, I was stunned.
It was one of those where I went against what I was thinking because it sounded like that's what you were setting up.
It was one of those leading off questions on Stump the Schwab the other day. Now, those are old, so they don't consider anything from the last year. But they were, teams that have qualified. There was 22 teams, I think, or something like that, had qualified at the time. And, it's Ohio State, Miami, Michigan, all the team, Oklahoma, Florida,
Texas.
All the teams that you would think. And then a guy said, Illinois. I go, oh, no way. Correct. It comes up. Illinois. I don't remember them having a good team in the last 10 years, but I must have missed
me
it.
Either. Hey, did you see the Raiders' new offensive coordinator, Shoop?
Yes.
Is that the guy from Chicago?
Yes.
That they hated?
Yes. And Tom said, you think you have it bad? We were talking about this yesterday. He said, you think you have it bad now. Wait till this guy comes in. They were complaining that the other guy, the politician there, was throwing the ball long all the time. Well, this guy's known for throwing a bunch of one-yard passes. He was driving them crazy in Chicago.
Right. Now, I remember that because he was the coordinator for that game in Champlain, wherever that was.
Yeah, I actually give him a lot of credit for that game because he found ways to get 30 points out of they had no offense at all.
But
remember a quarterback with no shoulder, Jim Miller?
But I remember they had chance for him, negative chance for him.
Oh, yeah, he got a lot of heat that day.
I mean, it's not all the time that a coordinator reaches the point where he's getting chants from a crowd.
Like Paul Hackett.
Right.
For the Jets, or as Tom called him yesterday, Buddy Hackett.
Although a couple more end-around double reverses, and who knows, Josh McDaniels, you might have that in your future,
come
too.
Come on down.
With this new crowd out here that apparently can start chants on the drop of a dime. This new, well-schooled Gillette Stadium crowd. Gary's doing his Christmas shopping and wrapping back in there,
Let's get back to that a little bit, Christmas shopping. What, I mean, she obviously wants it. Do I get it?
Yeah, but with other stuff.
Well, and that's why would I get one thing?
Well, that can't be the focal point. That needs to be an and gift. Well, digital camera and vacuum.
I already told you that digital camera is the focal gift.
That's fine.
But now,
why don't you just put it to us?
Now there's
put a tag on it to house.
There's 9,000 different kinds of digital cameras. I got to pick one. There's 9,000 kinds of vacuum cleaner. I just like when I go in specific.
Well, no, there won't be a million of the vacuum cleaners.
Oh, yes, there are.
Not the little ones. There'll probably be like six or eight.
Oh, that's all.
Well, I mean, if you were just getting a regular vacuum, then there'd be literally hundreds.
Six or eight, I got to pick from. I don't know.
And
you're
gonna eliminate the crappy lower.
Let's put it this way:
I want a good sucking.
Let's put it this way: I ain't throwing away the receipt.
Right.
Because I know that puppy's going back.
probably a while. Dyson actually makes a portable, but she wants the actual stick version.
I think she wanted an upright, like one-piece upright vacuum that she could just stick in the upstairs closet and like get the kitchen floor, once a day, one of those deals.
Interesting.
Because our vacuum's not that heavy. I don't really understand it. Although, she is 5 months pregnant, so what are you going to do?
And you are the laziest person in the world.
Oh, I vacuum a lot. Don't ever say that. You'd be stunned by my domestic abilities.
Fred walks in at the right time.
Stunned. Freddie Kirsch, what's the good word?
How you doing?
That dramatic pause for that?
Well, I had to make sure my mic was on. I had to put my headphones on.
Remember the other day he got yelled at because he thought the glare, the button was on. It wasn't on. It's a red button with light on it.
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Nothing. We're talking a little bit all-encompassing NFL today, Fred.
What kind of locker room do they have now?
Michael Strahan situation, Terrell Owens ripping the Cowboys.
Here's the problem I have with Michael Strahan. If you're going to do that, okay, before a game, you should plan on being out on the field to help your team win. He's not even going to play Sunday.
He's just a jerk.
You know?
Big bully.
He's listed as doubtful, so he's probably not going to. If you got to speak up and draw attention to yourself, you got to plan on helping your team on Sunday as well.
Well, I really agree with that wholeheartedly, Fred. But I also would even add, if you're going to do that, you obviously thought about it and you did it. Don't backpedal. Don't pull a Trot Nixon. You know, don't pretend that you didn't say it the next day. The ESPN person comes and says
right.
The media is trying to put it all right. together. And, again, it's always about the media.
And, and it's laughable that he says, I don't care what you guys write. Well, obviously you do.
Right.
I mean, obviously this bothers you. You know, and he said it like 3-4 times during the rant. I don't care what you say. Well, you do. Admit that.
Right.
You know? Anyway.
Sort of like when Corey Dillon says, I don't care.
You do
care. I do not care. And then he's reading everything and bringing it. Somebody called me 30. Somebody called me this.
Right.
I don't care about the numbers. But here they all are.
Right.
Just in case you guys are
read them
not watching.
Me.
Right. Yeah. What else?
I don't know. Did you see the stuff about Vanderjack and
T.O.
saying, oh, I don't know who made this decision, but they're going to be regretting that.
There's a match made in heaven.
That'll
right
come
there.
Back to haunt them and all that stuff.
Jerks of a feather flock together,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
What's going on upstairs, Freddie? Anything good that we need to know about?
Well, I was reading one of the emails. I don't know if you got to it, the one about the RCN and the NFL.
Okay, that's the next one up here. You want to go to that?
Yeah, because I have a little insight on that.
Oh, we did have a question.
We do have a question for you, but we'll get to this one first since you brought it up. Yo, dudes, all I want to do is watch football. I think that's a tribute to Tom.
I think so.
Unfortunately, my cable service provider won't show me the games, even though I get NFL Network. I finally found the reason for this in a Washington Post article published today. Maybe you could share it with the listeners who may be scratching their heads and cursing RCN like I am. Quoting the article, even some cable companies that carry NFL Network won't show the games because the NFL bills them for an additional fee for the 8 games. RCN Corp. does not show the games even though it carries the network. It's perplexing to us, honestly, to have a company that has carried the network for several years but elected not to show the games, NFL Network spokesman Seth Polansky said. We are a pro NFL network. Said Lynn Buning, head of programming for RCN. But she added, we are struggling with how to absorb the high cost of these games without impacting our customers with more fees. We would love to carry the games, but at this point, we haven't been able to successfully conclude negotiations for the right to carry them. And that's from Mac in Somerville.
Yeah, see, I read that, right? I've been reading a little bit. You know, there's a whole big thing now. With the NFL Network and some carriers. We've talked about it on the show. And I find fault with both sides in this case. I don't know exactly how much extra the NFL Network is charging these carriers that already have the network to show the games. And if it's outrageous, then they're at fault because they're better off getting it on every single TV and making the ad revenue afterwards. That said, I think it's a little disingenuous when these Time Warners and RCNs are saying, oh, we're just looking out for the customer. We don't want to raise their fees. Because here's the thing. On every football game or any sporting event that you see on a cable station, you always notice that there's segments that are devoted to local advertising. And that money for local advertising trickles back to the carrier. So by giving them NFL games, RCN, and they have now the ability to make a lot more money off of those
You're
games.
You're getting a lot more money for those local advertisers on an NFL game than you would, Bob the Builder.
So unless your sales staff isn't worth a dime, they're going to be making more money than they ever did, and that's how you absorb some of that cost.
But my only question is, was this sort of buried, sort of hidden, when the cable providers decided to carry the NFL Network and got the deal, was this sort of hidden
and that's
they
a
came
good
back
point.
Later?
And that's why I said
that should have been up front.
Yeah,
well, you got to find fault with the network. Yeah. I mean, with the league, and Fred said that.
Yeah,
off the top.
I find fault with the league too. I think, you know, they did deals with Comcast, so now they can't go back. They can't say Comcast, you paid it. We're not going to have these. So now they're kind of stuck because Comcast and others have already paid it. But I think their better strategy would have been from the outset, let's just aim at getting this in every cable TV we can and make the money on advertising.
Right.
You know? Or have an agreement down the road once we meet, you know, everyone, all the carriers agree, once we reach critical mass and you're making money, we're making money, you're going to see a little bit of increase.
Well, I was going to say there has to be some renegotiation at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like ESPN is working on the same contract it signed with AT&T 20 years ago or something.
If you believe in your product, which I'm sure the NFL does, you know you're going to make your money down the road.
Do they believe in their product? Did they watch that broadcast?
I think right now there's a little difference between believing in your product and being so arrogant that, you know, so I find fault with both sides in this thing.
To be honest with you, I'm awfully proud of Fred right now. We're actually looking at both sides. I agree with you 1,000%, but no, I mean, I'm kidding with you, obviously. It's easy to just kind of lash out at the cable company here, because if they think enough to pick the network up, you would think that the games would be the big chip.
Right.
But there is another side to it, and that is why would the league be looking to soak a little extra for these 8 dates, a year?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think
you don't know the story. Maybe when they did pick up the network to begin with, they were told that, and now they're balking.
Right. That's what I would like to know, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cable says, we'll just get it on the net. We'll worry about the games later.
Right.
And then the games come up a little sooner than they thought, and it's like, uh-oh.
Right.
You know, NFL's meaning business about this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The other question we had is, someone wants to know why John Rook's show is not podcast. Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do anything. It's just, you know, the time that Chris has to get all these podcasts together and the return on investment.
But there's no contractual reason.
Absolutely not. We could do it.
I thought maybe it was John's contract.
I mean, if 5,000 people email us in saying they want John Rook, we'll do it.
Well, there you go. There's the gauntlet that's been laid down by Fred Kirsch. If 5,000 of you, and we can track the email addresses so we know that if it's only one guy using all different emails, we can figure that out. So
we, not you.
No, absolutely not me. I have all I can do to open the email, Andy.
Right.
No, but one of the emailers, Fred, was saying how he really enjoys when John comes in with us as the crossover. It seems very entertaining. He'd like to get an opportunity to listen to his show as well.
He doesn't understand that once we leave, it's not entertaining.
Well,
I'm only kidding, John.
I didn't want to state the obvious there, but
it is what it is.
You never know when Baxter is on.
Yeah,
very entertaining stuff, right?
Well, John's a pro. John's a pro.
He's the only one among us.
You.
That's a pro.
You know what would be good on our PFW show that we do with Neckin? I don't know where it's going to be.
Which, by the way, I'm very impressed with our ratings.
Yeah, we had a 2 share last
3
Tuesday. Well, if you add it all up, 3
right.
share, yeah.
That's how it works. You add it up.
And over a 1.
Did you hear that, G? You saw it. You got the emails, right?
A lot of people falling asleep with the news on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I know Neckin wants us to re-up for next year, which tells us that they like it. You know, whether we do or not, I don't know. But I was thinking that.
Well, I'll get him in touch with my agent.
Not that I don't like Chris Collins, but wouldn't John Rook be a good host for that show?
Yes.
Because of the way he gets along with us?
Right, but then they'd have to. They want one of their own people there. So
I'm just saying.
Oh, if we went to another network, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just saying John would be a good host for that show.
I think he would be a good host.
Yeah.
But I think we need to hold out for the best deal available on any network.
You know, it's all about
the talent here.
So we're like the NFL Network. You want us, you pay.
That's right.
That's right.
Of course, I never see any of that.
That gets back to that indentured servant thing that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, we're pretty much slaves.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Huh? What a rough life you guys have. Good Lord.
Well, as long as you see it now.
Jaws.
Yeah. You know, I didn't get your take, by the way. I have emails are still coming in here. Webradio@patriots.com. But, Fred, I didn't get your take on the Michael Irvin thing. I don't think we've done radio together
the whole,
a little bit on Tuesday.
You mean with the great-great-great-grandma thing?
The fact that he's still employed.
I think every one of us, you know, I think Michael Irvin's a jerk. I don't think he should be on TV anyway. But just talking about this specific thing, I think every one of us have made the white athlete versus black athlete joke at one point.
Yep.
I mean, there's a whole movie based on it. White men can't jump.
Oh.
And it's a big joke.
Glad he told me.
Okay. It's a big joke. And I think that's what Irvin was saying. That said, I think he offers nothing to the show, and he should be gone anyway.
Right. I think he should be fired, not because of this.
Yeah.
I think this was a stupid, idiotic thing to say.
That's a running joke about white athletes versus black athletes, and every comedian and everybody who wants to get a quick
laugh.
But
isn't what he said different than if he had just said, boy, white boy can jump?
Well, I think, you know.
I mean, isn't it different to say somewhere way back when his great-great-great-grandma snuck into the barn and,
I think if he had said that he plays like a brother or something like that, I think it's far less
offensive.
That
would have been fine.
Right, to say that his grandmother snuck into a barn.
That's the part, you know, that raises eyebrows, because the very thought of, you know, bringing slaves in. But you know what? Yeah, that happened.
Well, no question.
It happened.
Yeah, but there's lots of stuff that happened you're not allowed to say.
I know, but, you know, if it was that individual thing, I think, you know, he obviously did mean it as a joke, right? I don't think he believed it.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Well, he was joking around.
I'm not so sure he doesn't believe it, but he meant it as a joke.
Let's put it another way. If he came on the radio and said, hey, I think black athletes are more athletic than white athletes, would anyone say anything?
If a white guy said the other way around, he would get in trouble.
Well, that's, you know,
I don't even want to get into that whole double standard. I just think what he said was so far above and beyond white boy can't jump, you know, white boy can jump. Like, he took it to a whole new level.
Right. Like, Andy made the point earlier, forget the racism part of it, okay? It's offensive just to say that his great-great-great-great-grandmother was
change the, instead of slave or black person, say just athlete. She sounded like she broke out of the marriage and was boinking some athlete. That's sort of offensive in its own right.
Even if he joked
that she banged Jim Thorpe 75 years ago.
Right. Take the racism out of it. Yeah. It's an offensive thing to say about someone in someone else's family.
Well, first of all, Tony Romo's great-great-great-grandparents were probably not even in America, but that's besides the point, you know.
Is he straight from Italy?
I don't know. But with a name like that, I'm sure he's not one of our founding fathers, you know?
That sounds like that's an inappropriate comment on
someone.
Maybe it is.
Maybe he was on the Mayflower. I mean,
Notice that Paul's not laughing right now.
The Santa Maria, you know? Hey, I'm not, my parents aren't either.
So there's no Italian people
that
played a key role
in
this country?
Most of the people in America are from Europe. You know, they weren't.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Italy in Europe?
But
that's
I'm saying.
That's his point.
They weren't here in 1700s, you know? You know, we were part of that whole immigration wave.
We should probably just get to a new subject before we're all fired.
Dave in Storrs, Connecticut is next up.
I think talking about it openly is not a bad
thing.
Tom,
just so you know, Italians never played a key role in helping this country grow or improve.
Is that what I said, Paul?
A little bit. No, that's not what you said.
Fred offended Paul. That's hard to do.
No, absolutely. You know how hard that is to do.
It's almost like trying to get Paul to shut up.
That's why I can't be on the PC police, because I'm impossible to. I'm impossible to.
And I'm only offended by one thing.
What?
Talking about popping the cherry on the radio.
I still don't understand that.
I find that the most offensive thing I've ever heard on radio, and it's accepted for some reason.
And yet you just said it.
Well, it's clearly they say it all the time on real radio. Plus, Gary, again, the rule is what's said in this room stays in this room.
You got a big neon Vegas sign for in there.
Dave is in Storrs, Connecticut. He's next up. How do you think the Broncos will do with Jay Cutler at the helm? Will they struggle under him because he's a rookie, or will he give them a lift? Do you think Denver will make the playoffs at this point? And if the Patriots face the Broncos, would it then be a better matchup for them? It's a good question.
I say they get an initial lift, and then they struggle because he's a rookie first-year quarterback. But I think he's talented. I think there's some swell from the coach to the players that they want to see what he can do. And I would expect to see some big plays between Jay Cutler and Javon Walker.
I don't know. Do you think they're a playoff team, is probably the crux of this question. And right now, I'm going to say no. But all it takes is a couple of, you know, strong performances, and you can, you know, quickly change your mind. I'm not sold on Kansas City quite yet, even though I think at 7-4 they've played probably better than I expected them to. It's going to be a three-team race, Andy. You have the standings in front of you. Maybe a four-team race if you want to put the Jets in there, but the Jets in Jacksonville with Kansas City and Denver. And only...
Yeah.
Right? And you know...
Cincinnati.
So out of those five teams, two of them are going to make it, correct?
Yep.
Let's, you know, let's throw that out there. What, you know, you have to, you want to give a, an edge? I think the four division winners, San Diego, Indy, Baltimore, and the Patriots. Give me the two wild cards right now.
I'll go with.
Well, do you have the, do you
Denver?
Have the schedule there?
No.
You got to
no.
have the schedule.
I also don't have
who do you
their
think is better?
Division record.
That's what
I have. The
I'm just asking who you think is
I'll
better.
I'll tell you, of those teams right now, I think the Jets.
You think the Jets are the better team out of those teams?
Yeah.
I say Denver and Cincy.
Well, it all depends on how Cutler does.
Well, that's right. The
you
big
know,
thing.
That's
and that's why it's
you
a good
know.
It was a good email because you really don't yeah. know how it's going
to
affect them.
Five games to play, say he wins three, loses two.
Well, I'll say this. Let's just say he comes in and he plays, you know, he does a Tony Romo. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the highest rated passer in the league the way Romo has, but let's say that he catches fire and they go 4-1. You know, Romo's 4-1, okay? Let's say they mm-hmm. finish the season 4-1. They roll into the playoffs with this new guy. I don't want to see them if I'm the Patriots because not only they're playing a team that has kind of had their number. Dan, let's face it, Denver's had the Patriots' number, but not only that, Belichick's got to prepare for a guy he hasn't seen, and
right.
and I don't like
but
that.
But the guy he hasn't
like
seen
that.
Has never played in a playoff game, and that's a big factor, too.
That is. But he's also one of those fiery personalities that could go either way. He has unbelievable confidence in himself to the point at which Tom and I found out
we're
he was generally
– We're going to win the toss, and we're going to win the game.
He wasn't surrounded by any talent.
There's a little BC
Vanderbilt.
That came out of that.
Right, right. Right.
That's just all of a sudden it's a big game. I got to lose.
What did Brady and Roethlisberger do without having any playoff experience?
They won.
Maybe in today's NFL, that could be. I'm just pointing out two in the last 5 years, two quarterbacks mm-hmm. have done it without any experience. Maybe without any great teams, like we always say in today's NFL. Maybe that's not as important.
I just look at it as I think Denver is one of those teams. You know, look, I think Pittsburgh probably if Pittsburgh was playing in the playoffs last year, the team that they probably least wanted to face was the Patriots because they probably feel like the Patriots have their number. You know. And I think Denver right now, they may not be the best team. They may not be better than Indy. They may not be better than San Diego. But I think they probably, the Patriots being they, probably fear Denver more than the others because they haven't had a lot of success against Denver. That's, you know, one of the things that I would be concerned about. Not that I don't think the Patriots could win.
Well, the other question is, are they going to just allow him to get the ball down the field? Like, what are they going to do with him? That would be my other question. Are they going to try and win 12-7? Or are they going to try to open it up a little and say we're going to need to be able to throw the ball if we're going to win the postseason?
You know, because this is Shanahan. You know, it's really it's his decision, so mm-hmm. he wants to, obviously to be proven right. So he's going to want to show this guy off
after proving himself wrong.
All right, Fred, we just got
Plummer was his decision too. He was like the ultimate quarterback for his system.
We just got two emails saying that they would like to subscribe to the John Rook podcast. They're from two different email addresses. However, I'm pretty convinced they're the same guy.
Okay.
Even though I have no idea.
And you still need 4,998
right. right.
more.
Okay. So we're only 48 short. John. and as I speak, Gary puts up the John Rook podcast tote board, and it's incorrect. It's two.
That's all right.
Well, I think it's the same guy. What do you think? You go look at him. You tell me.
Probably right. the same guy, so we'll stick with one.
You know, we'll keep counting.
We consider all strong plausible possibilities.
All right, so good time.
No chance. I say there's no chance you ever see a John Rook podcast.
Good time with the gang all here to take a quick break. We'll get ready to gear up for
Tom,
our
you letting the hair go?
NFL picks.
Getting a haircut on Friday.
Oh, you are getting a haircut?
Yeah.
All
right.
That's a great way to lead into a break.
Absolutely.
I got a flu shot yesterday.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like.
You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hun.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's Home Equity Line of Credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America Home Equity Line of Credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in progress.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
PFW in progress.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal. Here he comes. Attention everyone, here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh no, we're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats. You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, hmm? Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown! Our God has...
All right. It's this time of the year where I have to remind everyone every chance I get that the Patriots Pro Shop now is in full swing, full holiday swing. Get your stuff at the Patriots Pro Shop. Order now. You'll have plenty of time to get it before Christmas. And I suggest you do all your Patriots Christmas shopping right here online at Patriots.com. And, of course, if you want other suggestions, a Sirius radio, that's a good gift, or Bose Quiet Comfort 3 headphones.
All things Fred has gotten for free.
No. I don't have the Quiet Comfort 3
headphones. No, because you have the fancy, what are they, Shure?
I have them on here at the...
You have the fancy Shure inner ear. Bose now makes those now.
Do they?
The inner ear Bose.
Really? Oh, I
yeah.
didn't know that.
They just started making them.
Ooh.
They've been developing for years.
Wow. Anyway, those are some good...
Should I tell Mickey?
The headphones are the official headphones of PFW in Progress, Quiet Comfort 3 Bose.
I'm not willing to say that. I'm not tying myself to it until I get a free pair to bring home.
They're nice. They're very comfortable.
Yeah. And when a pair of them makes its way to my iPod...
I told you could take them on a trip with you.
Yeah, I want to take them on a trip to my home permanently. One-way ticket.
That is not... That's against company policy.
Whoa. What?
That you're not allowed to take gifts.
Then there's a lot of people
Speaking
that need to be
that,
fired in this company.
Talk to your
Half
iPod.
The marketing
ask
department.
Ask your iPod guy if he's going to be able to help me.
He goes, you can't take gifts. Speaking of that,
I'm going to pay for it. I want to pay for it. It's not, I don't want to
Yeah, can you find out what her nano
is? Is it Casablanca?
Basically, I should be fired.
What about it?
I'm shocked there's gambling going on here.
Right. All, Gary takes free stuff all the time. All those people upstairs in marketing take free stuff.
I'm ordering something, and so James, if you're listening, get in touch with me because these guys want stuff for Christmas.
Yeah, let him know what a nano costs because that's what I need.
A nano. And Fred, what do you need?
I need a video iPod for
Fred my kid. Needs a video iPod.
For
get
the
that
kid.
Get that discount going or whatever it is you do over there.
I'd like the five-finger version.
I'm not looking for a freebie.
I'm not looking for anything, James. Just keep on listening.
I also
enjoy your
I got Mariani's
support.
Guy coming in next week to fit me for a suit. My wife is... You know, just pestering
heard more
me.
More about this freaking suit than
no kidding.
No, she's I,
new
know,
suit, new car.
I want to get a nice. Well, the whole thing with the car, the deal I made with my wife is, if you can get this for the same monthly payment as the old one,
that really came back to haunt you, didn't it? Because you know that you were spouting off Paul Perillo style right there.
But
yeah,
she did it.
If you can get it for the same payment, you go ahead and do it. Then you turned around to Connor and said, "There's no way she's."
Yeah, well,
that.
She did it.
And so. The next day she got it, and you said, "Uh-uh."
Now Fred's still driving a Spartan.
It's a beautiful car, the Subaru Tribeca.
They look nice. I just don't like the front look, the curves
it's
and stuff.
It's got like a pug.
It's supposed to be designed like an airplane tie-in or something.
I don't know.
Or
the interior is beautiful.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. It's a fancy car. It's well beyond my price range.
No, it isn't. It's not that expensive. They
How
had
much
a,
is it?
They had a deal. It's a 2006.
If it starts with a 2 or a 3 and not a 1, it's outside
okay,
of my
well,
price range.
It's outside of your price range. Okay.
What are you?
It's in my price.
Scrooge?
It's in my
no,
price
I'm poor.
Range. If it
you just built a house.
It's in my price range if it starts with a 5. Although if there's another number after the 5, like as in 50.
All right. Well, it's Thursday and it's time to go around the NFL. And as we do every Thursday, so Paul, why don't you fill us in with what happened last week and what the season tally
okay,
is?
Okay. Last week, Tom Casale takes the week 13-3, followed by Fred at 12-4, me at 11-5, Andy at 8-8.
Wow.
Against the spread. Against the spread. Tom, 12-4. Paul, 11-5.
Wow.
Fred, 9-7. Andy, 9-7.
I should point out that's funny because it was one of the worst gambling weeks for bettors in years.
And we did well.
They got killed.
Wow.
Well, that's because there was some big plays that went astray.
Yeah, there was those sucker bets that we talked about on here, like the Carolina and the Giants that didn't come through. And when that happens,
well, I was looking at the schedule before I came down. This is going to be another tough week to pick, but. Paul, why don't you fill us in on the...
All right, for the season, Tom...
Was I leading last week, by the way, before
yeah.
I blew up?
Yes, you were. Andy.
I believe you said it was something in regards to it's over.
Tom is ahead at 111.
It is. I just didn't know exactly how that was going to play out.
Yeah, Tom's 111-65, Fred 108-68, Paul 106-70, Andy... No, Andy should have been third. 107-69, Paul's 106-70.
So would have been more impressive if I'd gone from first to worst.
By the way, anyone who I beat in this gets fired.
Okay.
Because I don't need you. If you know more, if I know more than you, then I don't need you.
I actually agree with that.
With the spread, with the spread, it remains.
Now that Tom's in first.
It remains Tom's world against the spread, and we're all just, you know.
We're all just living in it.
Right.
Yeah.
63-51.
Wow. I need to stop
two.
Now.
That's
excellent.
Yeah,
the rest of us are below 500, although Fred's creeping up. 56-58. You had, another good week this week, Fred. 56-58. So you're right at 500.
You know, those ones in the paper, like, I forget, Jim Lazar and Chad, whoever it is, all you know, they have these bad weeks, and all of a sudden you look at their season total, and they're always around 500. I'm convinced that they're screwing around with that.
All right.
You know? In the Herald and the Globe.
I don't read those.
You know, I Am Better and all that stuff.
No, I generally don't read them.
All right. Is that it, Paul?
Yeah, that's it.
I think he's got a calculating error or something.
I definitely did.
Uh-oh.
Somehow I have Andy at 53 and 57 and Paul's at 53 and 61. So that didn't really make much sense.
The ties aren't different?
All right.
Oh, no, we both had two ties.
Well, it's good that we changed this around the NFL thing to Thursday because now we have regularly scheduled Thursday games.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And this week's regularly scheduled Thursday game is the Cincinnati
yeah,
Bengals.
The problem was last week is you had two more wins than me, and I had four more losses than you. So I screwed something up somewhere along the line.
All right. We'll have to put that back in the computer.
Yeah. Oh, that ain't happening, Fred. I ain't going back to find my mistake.
Let's see.
For entertainment purposes only.
All right. The Baltimore Ravens are traveling to Cincinnati. 8 o'clock game tonight. On the NFL Network, of which I have, and Tom has, so we're all set, right? You got the NFL
You're
Network?
You're not going to invite him over for wine, cheese, and
I
football?
I invited him last week. He never showed up. So.
You never said anything to me.
I said if you want to come over.
Yeah, I thought you were going to send me an email or something.
Oh, okay.
I thought maybe
he was in
busy.
His bathrobe. And all
he needs it in writing.
Oiled up.
I figured, you know.
God knows I wasn't doing anything.
I figured once I said it, if you didn't say yeah, I'd be interested. I didn't follow up.
I actually
up
thought you were just kidding.
No, I wasn't kidding.
I just thought
game.
It would be awkward.
I watched the game. Me
definitely
and the
what
dogs.
I want to do is hang out with my boss in odd work time.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
I got a fridge full of beer. That's all you need.
Okay.
To know.
What time we start?
All right.
Careful. He's just trying to get you liquored up and take advantage of you.
Get some buffalo wings in there.
Ravens at Bengals. Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite. Are you surprised at that spread?
A little bit.
I'll take the Ravens to win outright. I think they're the better team, the tougher team. They make the plays they need to win.
Yeah, I think I took Cincinnati in the paper, but you know what? They just don't beat any good teams at home, it seems like. I think they're going to be in the game. I think they're going to score some points, but how they shut out Cleveland last week, I'll never know. There's a game you have to really watch and see what the heck happened, because I don't know how they could shut out anybody. I think they score. The Ravens score more.
Randy Lerner said that game last week, he's the Browns owner. It's sickening, he said.
Braylon Edwards fighting Charlie Fry on the sideline.
Right.
You see that?
Yep.
Not Tack good.
Him.
Not yeah. good stuff.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to take Baltimore, too. But I'm sure, and I told Tom this morning, I'm sure that Cincinnati will win because I have been picking against Baltimore all year long. I've been waiting for Steve McNair to get hurt all year long and not really counting the Ravens as a contender all year long. Well, now they're 9-2, so I'm wrong. I'm on the bandwagon, which means it's time for them to start losing. I'll pick Baltimore, knowing full well I'll be wrong.
Let's see. I'll split it up. I'm going to pick the Bengals to win this game, but I'll pick Baltimore to cover. But I think the Bengals have – this could be their last hurrah.
I should say that in the first meeting, Palmer had receivers wide open, and he was missing them badly. That's before he kind of got into this groove. So
the other part about that is Cincinnati does seem to have something against this Baltimore defense that really stops everybody else. It doesn't seem to affect Cincinnati that much. And they lost the game. We're watching the replay of that game right now on NFL Network. That game was really all about two turnovers in the first 3 minutes of the game. They fumbled the opening kickoff, Cincinnati did, and then they had an interception return for a touchdown on the second possession for Cincinnati, and they never cut up from that 14-0. They almost won the game anyway at the end. So for whatever reason, Cincinnati seems to be able to move the ball on Baltimore better than most other teams do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game tonight. I just don't trust them.
Yeah. Well, now I can watch and be interested, you know, because I picked the – well, they are the favorites. I can't even say I picked the underdog, but I think most people think that the Ravens are going to win this game. At least they do at this table.
Wait a minute. You picked Cincinnati to cornerback win. Okay.
To win.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I got it right. I wanted to make sure I recorded it right.
All right. Sunday at 1.
Looks like LaVon Kirkland, for God's sakes.
I know. Sunday at 1. The first game we'll talk about is the Arizona Cardinals at the St. Louis Rams. And St. Louis is 6.5-point favorites at home.
Bad game. Whew.
Yeah, that's a bad game. I'll take St. Louis at home. And I'll take them to cover. I just think the Cardinals are a bad team going nowhere.
Yeah.
My fear is, I think they can score enough points if they, you know, get hot in liner, but I don't even think they're good enough running the ball to take advantage of the Rams. So I say Steven Jackson runs the ball down their throat and the Rams win.
Yeah, I always hate picking the Rams games. I'll go with the Rams to win. I'll go with them to cover, too, I guess.
Okay.
I just don't think the Cardinals have much left in the tank right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with the same. St. Louis, just two bad teams. I'll go with the home team and just figure that the Cardinals are due to get blown out. They had a cheap cover last week in a game they really didn't deserve to cover, even though I'm glad they did because I picked it. But I don't think that'll happen again.
Me.
I called it lucky. I don't know why I get a horn.
Here's where
that.
Fred splits it. Just
I'm going to make it unanimous. Rams both ways. All right. Does that make you happy, Andy?
It does.
All right.
Fred, you know there's a vintage Broncos-Browns game going on the TV behind you.
Oh, is that the drive?
Yeah, yes, it would certainly appear to be.
Wow.
Did anyone wear bigger pads than Kevin Mack? His pads go like a foot past his shoulders on either side.
Let's see. Sunday at 1, Atlanta Falcons at Washington Redskins. Washington is a 2-point favorite at home.
Yeah.
This is all of a sudden a tough game to call. You just don't know who these teams are.
Yeah, I don't know who either of these teams are. Things not going well in Atlanta for the coach killer and the coach he's killing. Jason Campbell, defense, Adam Archuleta. There's a lot going on in this game. A lot going on. I'll take the Falcons just because I think they have a better chance of winning. I just don't trust either team, but if I had to say...
It's a hard one.
If I had to do a 51% chance of who I trust more to win a game, I'll go with the Falcons.
Well, I always like to, when I was gambling, always try to find those teams that kind of split apart at the seams at this point of the year. I think the Giants are a game away from that,
right,
depending what happens this
right
week. I think the Falcons was last week. I think they needed that win. They didn't get it. And even though Adam Archuleta was benched for the Redskins, I think he'll come off the bench and make 10 tackles, 3 interceptions, and the Redskins will win.
Paul?
Yeah, I agree with you, Fred, that this is a very tough game to call, but I disagree with we don't know who these teams are. I think we know that these teams are both bad, and they're both just kind of playing out the string. And I agree with Tom's theory here. With that in mind, I'm going to go with the team that might be playing for a little bit more, and that's with Jason Campbell at quarterback. I think Washington has a little bit more at stake, even though they're out of it. So that's the only reason. I think both teams stink here. I'll go with Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Redskins as well, both ways.
Let me ask you something. End of the year, say Mora gets fired, new coach comes in. Is Vic the quarterback?
Well, I got to tell you, I was just thinking about that today because Domowicz wrote about this in his column. And if I'm a coach and I go into to interview with Atlanta, I got to – that's the number one thing on the board with Arthur Blank. I'm not specifically saying I want him out. But do I have the power to get him
right
out?
Well, and that's the bigger,
and if I don't, I'm walking out of the interview.
And that's the bigger question because Arthur Blank is one of those guys. He's very involved in the teams down the sideline. He's patting guys on the ass and all that stuff.
That's all well and good as long as the coach can make a personnel decision,
but knowing,
I don't think he can.
Knowing the marketing dollars that you have invested in this one player, what do you do as an owner now?
Right.
Do you let that walk out the door? What do you do?
Well, I saw Pro Football Talk already trying to throw around the rumor of a Vic for Moss deal.
Well, I would think it'd make more sense if you're going to keep Vic to bring Moss in. And
well,
let Vic
saying,
just heave
well,
it
I think
down.
Just
go with
troubled.
Schaub. Go
yeah,
with Matt
and
Schaub.
Take,
and
you
Moss
exchange
in
one trouble for another trouble, right, but keep a big name, a Randy Moss. You can sell some Moss jerseys to replace the Vic jerseys and all
what,
that.
What are the Raiders doing, though, if that happened? I mean,
well, we know Al Davis likes guys who are fast and can throw the ball deep, and Michael Vic can do both, so... He might be in love with him. I don't know. And he makes the decisions.
I don't know.
I personally believe, and it'll never happen, I don't think, just based on his attitude, if Vic would just say, put me in a slash role.
He'd be unstoppable.
That team, I think, would be very much increased their offensive potential.
Especially if Matt Schaub is as good as a lot of people think he
right
is. You know, if he's capable of going in there and being a guy that can, you know, complete 60% of his passes, throw, you know, 23, 24 touchdowns, 10, 12 picks. A lot of people think that he can do that. I think you're really stunting your team's ability to get better by keeping Vic in there and not making.
Think it what it would do. I mean, you got Norwood, who's kind of a big play guy. Crumpler, how would he be affected if you had a running back that like Vic, or if he's split wide, you know, in the slot? How would that change how things open things up for Crumpler and Roddy White and some of these other guys? Just seems like it would have a dramatic effect on the offense.
And just to. The thing I saw this week is I saw Vince Young, and I saw him beat the Giants not only with his legs but with his arm. Mm-hmm. And that's something Vic can't – he doesn't beat you with his arm. And it's been 40 years, you know. It's
and I also
–
now, maybe I'm just naively in love with Vince Young here. But
well, that's true.
It's true. Vinsanity. That's why, you know, it's in the running for the name. But I kind of feel like Vince Young, if a coach like Jeff Fisher, somebody he respected, came to him and said, we got a quarterback. We don't think you're our quarterback. Would you be willing to play another role? Maybe I'm being, again, maybe I'm being naive. I feel like he would do it.
I have no idea.
And I don't think Michael Vick would. I don't think he would even contemplate it. He would get all pissy and make a big stink about it. Because I think Vinsanity is a winning football player, and that's all he cares
about. I don't think Vick would do it. I agree with you. But however, I have no idea what Vince Young
team
would
player.
Do it.
Team player.
Well, I have no idea on
team
that.
Yeah, he's just making it up. So.
I mean, I know.
It's pure speculation.
Right. Well, from listening to Vic say that I'm up there on par with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Donovan McNabb, I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't want to be playing anywhere but quarterback. He's obviously has a distorted opinion of himself. That's why I said, now, I haven't heard Vince Young say things like that where I would, you know, one way or the other say that he would or wouldn't be willing to move.
The amazing thing is we spent 10 minutes talking about that game.
All right, let's move on.
This is what we do.
Sunday at 1, the Colts traveling to Tennessee. Indianapolis
Vinsanity.
Is a 7.5-point favorite on the road in Tennessee.
Colts win and cover. Good game last week for Vinsanity to come back. Nice comeback and all that. But Colts are the better team, and they score more points.
Yeah, I think the Titans are playing well. They're moving in the right direction. But this is one of those lines where you're getting a little leeway here, because if they lose that game to the Giants, you're probably talking about an 11-point spread.
Right.
So that's kind of low for that. I'm going to go with the Colts. Just too much offense.
Okay.
Yeah, when you have Ricky Prohl in your lineup, I mean, how do you stop a team like that?
Yeah, I think I'll take the Colts as well. And I think that they have a couple more games that they're looking, you know, if we can just get a couple more wins here, chop them off, kind of rest up, and they'll be in good shape with that number one seed. I think they take this game very seriously. Vince Young, 4-4 as a starter. They have, you know, Tennessee's not going to be sneaking up on people here. They're playing pretty good football. So I think the Colts take this one seriously and win.
Haynesworth do something else?
Not that I know of.
Albert Haynesworth. Did he just?
I don't think so.
Everybody took Indy both ways?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Fred hasn't picked yet.
I'm going to go with Indy to win, but the Titans to cover. I think that with the Indy blitzes, I think Vince Young will pick up like 80 yards on the ground.
Well, maybe Travis Henry has a big day running the ball at the Colts.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's what happened last time, but they only scored 13 points.
All right.
See, that's the thing. I think Tennessee could play well, make some plays, run the ball of insanity, and then the Colts still score more points and win.
Right.
Kansas City at Cleveland. The Kansas City Chiefs are 5-point favorites in Cleveland.
I'll take Kansas City to win. Bad showing for the Browns last week. Some bad things with. I know he apologized and came out and said the right thing, but you know that those are supposed to be two young guys you're building around, and they're arguing on the sideline. Not good. And the Chiefs obviously have playoff aspirations, and you know moving forward. So I think they win this one. Get a good win on the road.
All right.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win, but I kind of feel like this is that Jets game all over again. I think the Browns are going to win, but I don't got enough guts to take
them. Come on, be courageous.
Nah, I'm going to go with the better team. I just don't think things can get any worse with the Browns than they did last week. And Kansas City's not a great road team, so I'm going to take the Browns to cover the number, but the Chiefs to win.
What kind of reflection is it on Romeo Crennel if, A, the Browns actually come back and win this game, or B, get blown out again?
I think it's
is it any reflection?
If they
on
come
Romeo
back
Crennel?
And win, I think they're okay. But if they get blown out, they're in big trouble. They won't cover another game the rest of the year because you can tell that he lost the players.
Yeah, I think that would be a very bad reflection on Romeo if they were to get blown out again.
But I also
took Kansas City to cover as well.
But I also think it would be a positive reflection on him if the Browns turned it around and won this game against a better team.
I agree.
It shows that
he kind of still has their ear.
And I think he needs one more year there. You know, he started the year with Charlie Fry. He's a young quarterback. If you think he's the guy, I think Crennel deserves at least one more year. Coaches get too fired too quickly.
Oh yeah.
These days, you know, I know they haven't done quite what they wanted him to do, but he took over a mess. I mean, when Butch Davis left here,
and they had so many injuries that we're not really talking about.
So I think he earns one more year if they don't blow up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to echo Tom's pick. Kansas City will win the game, but I think Cleveland finds a way to stick in there. And they seem to do it like every third game, you know, that they either beat somebody that you don't expect them to beat, or they're very, you know, like they took Baltimore to the wire earlier in the year. They beat the Jets. You know, it's like every third game they do something out of the ordinary. Maybe this is the game.
Can I ask a quick rule question?
A rule question.
Did they change the illegal touching on a punt where – if you touch it and then the receiving team goes after it, the worst that can happen. I mean, has that rule changed at all? I just saw one of the worst plays in the history of football then. Broncos, Browns, John Elway just pooch punted down inside the 20.
Right.
And the coverage got down there. The ball's bouncing near the sideline and about to go out of bounds. And whoever the wide receiver was on the play was running out of bounds and flicked the ball back in bounds. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Because the guy could pick it up and streak down the sideline for an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I think, I don't, as far as I know, that rule hasn't changed in years.
Idiocy. Okay, sorry, Fred. Go.
I'm like Tom. I don't have the sack to pick the Browns, even though I think they would win. Gary reaches for the replay button.
Obviously
didn't have a sack. I'll pick Kansas City to win and the Browns to cover. All right. Sunday at 1, Minnesota at Chicago. Chicago is a 9-point favorite at home against the Vikings, coming off against that loss at the hands of the New England Patriots.
Chicago Bears blow out the Minnesota Vikings at home. Grossman gets it going so they can rebuild any maybe lapse in confidence for him. Brian Urlacher pissed off because he fell victim to an NFL rule, and they just absolutely physically, morally, and points-wise demoralize the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Bears big.
Paul.
I, too, like Chicago, and they're going to need to have a good performance in this game, I think, to kind of squash all this Rex Grossman talk. And,
well, he's going to have to have
Well, I think the team in general,
needs
to do it. I guess Grossman, Darren Sharper, really upset at Rex Grossman going back to the first meeting between these teams. Grossman threw a game-winning touchdown pass late. I evidently had a lot to say to the Chicago Bears defense as he was leaving the field on that after that play, and Sharper was very upset about a quarterback talking trash.
You mean a lot to say to the Minnesota defense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Darren Sharper plays for Minnesota.
Right, but said he had a lot to say to the Bears defense.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This game will get so out of hand that even Tommy Harris will make a play, Tom.
yeah, I'm going to take the Bears both ways in this game.
Okay.
They're mad. So
nothing worse than an angry bear.
Angry bear. Okay, Sunday at 1.
Is it a wounded bear?
Oh, maybe they're wounded too.
Jets at Green Bay.
I thought it was don't wake up a sleeping bear.
The Jets are 1.5-point favorites.
Over who?
The Packers in Lombardy.
In Lombardi?
Jets get a good road win.
Lambeau.
At Lombardi Field.
Salad.
They're the better team. The Packers, just not a good team. Stop the run. Make them one-dimensional. Pick off Favre and win.
This is an easy one for me. I think the Jets win this game easy. I don't think Green Bay can beat any good team.
Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets. Interesting to see if Fred will take the 1.5, however, and say the Jets win and Green Bay to cover.
No, I'm going to go with the Jets both ways. Question, Green Bay's schedule. I heard something about the last couple games are on the road so that Favre may sit out those last two games so that his last game that he plays is at Lambeau Field. Is that right?
So he's already announced his retirement.
I was going to say, I thought he was planning on coming back.
That's the speculation.
Yeah, I thought he was coming back.
That he wouldn't end his career on the road.
I got news for you. That team's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Well, hell
this
yeah.
This is only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Because they stink. They have. I don't think Aaron Rodgers can play. And Who knows? Favre
I'm
might
on
put,
greens getting
Favre
older.
Favre might quote unquote play for three more years. So
in order to get really better, they're going to need Aaron Rodgers to be good. Right. I agree with you. But how have they drafted? How are some of these other guys that they've drafted? They've had high picks. I mean, Hawk has had a decent year. I don't know if he's an impact player or not or whatever like that. But that to me will be the big key as to whether or not they're able to make any progress going forward.
Right, because they didn't draft well in the Mike Sherman era. Right. And they need to get some young players.
Who's that defensive lineman they drafted a couple years ago? Total washout. Jamal Reynolds?
Terrible.
Yeah, Felger always bitching about him.
And just a side note for the so Bill Belichick doesn't have confusion in the future. I heard a guy say that it's Darren Coolidge. It's not college.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's
true. And I've heard Coolidge.
Maybe it's Coolidge.
On TV.
I don't think it's college, so.
It's not college.
Bill, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It wasn't college in college.
All right. I said I'd take the Jets both ways. Okay, Sunday at 1.
I'm going to take the Jets.
The Chargers at Buffalo. Buffalo's the spoiler team this year. They could end up being that team. Chargers are 6-point favorites at home. On the road.
Why is Buffalo the spoiler
team? They play a lot of the teams that are vying for positioning. Down the end.
I'll take the Chargers to win. What was the spread? They'll cover.
Six.
Yeah, they'll cover. They'll blow them out. Kill them. They're going to get rolling in the right direction. Lights out. Merriman is going to turn out Lossman's lights. And no one will care that he was on steroids.
Do you think the San Diego people, when they go to Buffalo, go to Billy Ogden's the night before?
If they know about it, probably.
Sure, it's an old AFL team.
And it's the one thing in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. This is tough. I'm taking the Chargers to win.
It's a tough one. It's not, you know.
I'm going to take the Bills with the points. San Diego been playing some close games lately. I don't know. I don't feel too great about it.
Losman's playing better. Everyone sees a game, Losman all of a sudden is playing with confidence.
Well, it must have started after the Patriot game. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Were they playing blind defenses lately?
I'm going to take the Chargers big. I don't see any way Buffalo does anything at all to even get in the way of
winning. Is Merriman back in this game?
Not only Andy said that Merriman will be back, I was in mid-sentence. San Diego's my pick.
Fred's got to be taking the points here.
Well, I mean, he's almost compelled to take Buffalo outright. I mean, the way he talks about the Bills, like somehow they've won games.
They've got a pretty good
spoiler. They lost to the Lions.
They got a pretty good defense.
They gave up 10 points in 5 minutes to Jacksonville last week to tie the game at the end. The only way they cover is if they do every other game that they cover. They have an 80-yard punt return by Roscoe Parrish and a 100-yard kickoff return by Terrence McGee.
I'm going to go with the Chargers both ways. Okay.
So much for those Bills being the spoilers. Lossman winning.
Sunday at 1. Well, then I can say, see, I told you.
That's what you can always
Son
say.
Son of a gun talked me into the Bills. It goes with the Chargers.
Mine is just all about Tomlinson. I can't see that Buffalo defense even getting in his way.
I mean, all he has to do is average a touchdown the rest of the way.
That's all. Did you see that last year? All he's got to do is average a touchdown a game the rest of the 16 touchdown seasons are suddenly pedestrian.
All right, San Francisco at New Orleans. This is actually more interesting than you would have thought at the beginning of the season. New Orleans is a 7-point favorite at home. That might be a little high.
I'll take New Orleans to win at home, but I will take the points with the Niners. I think they got a little something going. Apparently Frank Gore is the next Walter Payton or something. He just runs. So I look for him to run and do enough on that offense to keep it close and for that defense to make some plays. So Saints will probably eke one out, but I think it'll be a tight one.
Yeah, the Saints are one of those teams where you can just, you know, bet the other team in the over. Because you know the Saints are going to score, but the other team's probably going to score a lot, too. Right. And I can't lay 7 points with a team that doesn't play any defense. So I'll take the Saints and the Niners to cover.
All right, Paul?
I'm going to take the Saints both sides. I think the Niners last week had one of those losses that sticks with you. They probably felt like they should have won the game, and they lost very late in a game that could have gotten them really in the playoff picture. And I think it was a disappointing loss that sticks with a young team for a week. I'm going to take the Saints to take advantage of that, with, of course, the knowledge that I am 0-for-12 picking Saints games this year.
And I got to say, that I hate to second-guess it, but that call was terrible. I mean, they needed less than an inch for a first down. When we were sitting there watching
the
game,
remember I told you that. Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like a yard, but when I went home and saw the replay, they need literally an inch to win the game.
If the foam around the first down stick was a little bit thicker, yeah, it would have been a first down.
And
that's how close it was.
When you're the Niners, when you're an upstart team, you got to take the, you got to give that ball to Frank Gore right there, or a quarterback sneak with Alex Smith, who's a good runner. You get that first down, the ball game is over. I thought that was a bad call.
There's 4.5 minutes left in the game, and I know that like Bill Belichick would laugh at me for not, you know, understanding the difference between a 1 and a 4-point lead. But I really think at that time of game, there's no difference with that much time left.
Playing
now,
the Rams
now, if there's like 50 seconds left and you're that close. Sure.
Right.
4 point, you know, a touchdown in 50 seconds as opposed to a field goal in that time is a big difference. 4.5 minutes left.
That's a lifetime.
That's an eternity.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's tougher to get a touchdown than a field goal, but I just think that your lead was tenuous either way, whereas Tom's point, put the knockout blow, the game's over. I would have gone for it.
Okay.
Who'd you take?
I haven't said yet.
Okay. I thought you were getting prepared to move on.
I'm
going to
go with San Francisco both ways in this game. Well, actually, obviously, if they win, then they cover. So
well, it's another one of those good games, though. We have 2 New Orleans, 2 San Francisco, and a split.
Okay. 4 o'clock games. Gary, should we take a break? Yes, we'll be right back.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon,
or renovate the bathroom,
oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my,
or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the 3-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Master Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 of qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here, PFW Progress. We're going around the NFL. We're on the 4 o'clock games now. Gary's in the Christmas mood. We'll have our show coming up with what you want for Christmas.
What's wrong with you, Scrooge?
Is that next week?
We'll get.
We got to get into it next week, Fred. Come on.
Well,
it's December. It
starts earlier and earlier.
I'll do my annual.
Time to watch the Godfather.
I'll do my annual mini bike story.
Yeah, yeah. Tennis racket.
All right.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. All right, Sunday, 4:05, Texans at the Raiders. And let's see, Houston should be the favorite, right? Wouldn't they be? Maybe not. I can't find that game. Oh, here it is. Oakland's the favorite. 3 points.
I'll take Houston to win outright. I think they're the better football team. I don't care about shoomp-a-doomp.
What about Rob Ryan's defense?
It's okay, but you can still win 3-0 or 6-3 or whatever you got to do. I think they'll score enough points. Andre Johnson, touchdown. Hart Foundation wins. Houston wins.
Well, I was telling Paul the other day that John Shoup is no kind of answer, offensive coordinator, and you can ask Bears fans that. They hate the guy. But the Texans might be the most beat-up team in the NFL right now. I think they've lost like 8 starters. And
I did not know.
I'm going to go, just because of what you said, Fred, that defense has kind of been playing well. I'm going to go with the Raiders here. It's 2 bad teams. The Raiders are at home. I mean, what the hell? They got to win. They got to win sooner or later. Maybe they'll win this, and then they'll be done for the year.
A lot of, Art Shell said that there was a traitor on the team, and now the rumors are it was the GM, Lombardi, that was the traitor. That went to the media saying, you know, call... coaching problems and personnel problems.
Wow.
And
it was the media themselves could see they were coaching problems.
It was Lombardi that was the one that was leaking all that info, according to sources.
Well, all I know is they got Mark Madsen catching passes for him, guys I've never heard of, and Randy Moss is sitting on the sideline, so things aren't going well there.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oakland, which, even though they're favored, they're just 2 bad teams here. Houston, this might be one of those games. Houston goes to Oakland and says, "Oh, this is a game we can win." And it sounds stupid when you're that bad and you're kind of overconfident.
Right.
But I think that might happen. I think Oakland finds a way to win.
Right. This is a tough one. My first instinct is to pick Houston in this game. But then they're just 2 bad teams. Road. I'll go with Houston anyway. All right, Houston. Okay.
He's worth the price of admission.
Sunday, 4:05, Jacksonville at Miami. And let's see. Miami. Oh, Miami's a favorite. 1.5 points against Jacksonville.
How do you struggle to find every game?
Because they're not in order.
But it's a list, and you've read it a ton of times now, looking for every team. So you'd think they'd sort of pop up, and you'd, Miami, I remember them. They were down here.
They got 1 o'clock games, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the 1 o'clock games, they stick a 4:05 game.
Yeah, that's you know what that is.
That's
complete and total laziness on the part of the Herald.
Right. So that's why I was looking for it.
Because they're all listed at 1 o'clock originally, and rather than move it down when they make it a 4 o'clock game, they leave it where it was. That's complete and total laziness.
Thank
you. What was the spread?
Now you got to make me find
1.5. The Dolphins are favorite.
Are you surprised that the Dolphins are favored over the Jaguars?
No, because I think they're going to kill the Jaguars.
They've played pretty well lately.
And there's only a 1-game difference between the teams.
Right.
5-6, 6-5, and the home team's favored by 1.5.
And the team that is 6-5 plays better at home than on the road.
Right.
So I'll go with the fraud Dolphins. Why not? I don't like either team. Tom?
Yeah, I like the Dolphins to get the record easy win here, 6-6, and I think I think they might beat the Patriots next week, and we'll save that. If they can get to 500, I think they might have something going on, but they are a bunch of frauds. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Paul.
I kind of agree with Tom all around. I think if they win this game, then the Patriots game next week is going to be tough. If they lose this game, I think the Patriots will absolutely destroy the Dolphins because that'll be it. They got their little wave going, and if it crashes down with a loss here against Jacksonville, the Patriots will roll over them next week. But I'm going to take Miami to keep it going for one more week and get to 6-6 and then see what happens next week.
Yeah, I'll go with the Dolphins as well, both ways. All right, 4:15, Cowboys at the Giants. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Giants.
I'll take the Cowboys. Giants too banged up, blown up, although I still fear that the Tony Romo 1-4 game is coming with one touchdown and four picks, but this isn't the week.
If the NFL tells you anything, it's that the Giants will win this week because the Cowboys are all over the media. They're
right.
Going to the Super Bowl. The Giants are done. It's just hard for me to take the Giants because of everything that's going on with them. I think they're going to give up. They're going to give one more fight. I think they're going to fight hard this week. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win and the Giants to cover. But if they lose this week, I think it unravels for them. This is their a big week for them.
For all the reasons Tom said, I'm going to take the Giants. I think Dallas is a much, much better team. But I think that sometimes you have all this turmoil and all this stuff. It looks like it's falling apart. The ship is sinking.
Yeah, but the guy that's causing it, he's not
Coughlin.
Even playing.
Coughlin's caused it to me.
Yeah.
It all goes on the head coach, in my opinion.
Oh, he's not playing either.
But he's a rather important figure, though. It really defies logic, but I agree with all of Tom's reasoning. And you think it's over. I think the Giants still have some talent, despite the fact that they have all those injuries. I'm going to take the Giants to
see, I would say that, Paul, usually, you know, that is a big motivating factor, but I just think there's too many factions on the Giants, and they won't come together as a team to fight hard. There's the Coughlin faction, the Tiki Barber faction, the Strahan faction, you know, so the Eli, I don't think.
But with everything that's happened, all it takes is one win. And they're in good shape.
No, I know, but I don't think
they
it's
win this
happen.
Game and they're tied with Dallas for the lead. They beat Dallas twice. They'll still be undefeated in the division. You know, all of a sudden, the ship that was, you know, halfway down the Atlantic a couple of weeks ago doesn't look so bad anymore.
Yeah, I just think there's too many injuries, too many factions, and the Cowboys are playing too well. I got to go with the Cowboys both ways in this game.
Umanyora coming back for this game, though, so that'll help the Giants.
Yeah, is he?
Just saw on there that him and Strahan practiced. Umanyora's questionable.
Practice? Strahan practiced? Really?
But he's doubtful.
I know he's listed as doubtful, but he's
practicing. But Umanyora is supposed to play.
Maybe it's a big ruse. I'll still go with the Dolphins. I mean, I'll still go with the Cowboys. All right. Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. Let's see. Pittsburgh is 7-point favorites at home against Tampa Bay.
Take Pittsburgh to win. Tampa sucks. They got nothing. They can't run the ball. Cadillac Williams said the worst sophomore season in the history of football. Of course, I drafted him 8th overall in fantasy draft. Ben Roethlisberger just won't turn the ball over. Tampa just stinks. That's all. I'm picking Pittsburgh.
It'll be interesting to see what happens on the coaching carousel after this game. After the season. Because there could be some big-name coaches looking for jobs.
He's looking for $9 million a year.
Gruden?
No, the other guy.
Cower?
Cower? The guy who won the Super Bowl?
Well, I just wanted to clear it up for Fred, just in case.
No, he goes the other guy.
I'm not paying anybody $9 million a year to coach my football team.
Okay.
I like the Steelers. Big AFC, NFC, Steelers at home. And I'm with Andy. I think the Bucks are just, they're out of gas. They're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'll take the Steelers both ways. My only fear is that Pittsburgh had one of those last-ditch games last week. And now they're just saying, okay.
Yeah.
Because now they're officially done. I mean, even if they went out, they're done now.
They might be better off just saying okay against the Bucks.
Right.
I think that's enough.
But I think that little of Tampa Bay, I'll take Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I'm going to go with
Tom. What did you
Pittsburgh
think about Tampa
ways.
Bay before the year?
I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. What did you think about the Vikings before last year?
Yeah.
Ended up about the same. They'll both be picking in the top 10.
The Vikings made a run late last year. Didn't they finish at like 8-8?
They did. You're right.
I think they went 9-7.
All right,
my sucky team beats your sucky team.
What are they? 3-7?
I got
a shot.
I trump you all. I go back a couple of years when Marty Mordenweg was the coach of the Lions, and I picked him for coach of the year and the Lions to get a wild card. They went 1-15.
All right, Sunday 8:15,
I really liked what they were doing there in Detroit.
These two teams are on at night a lot. Seattle Seahawks at Denver Broncos.
Seahawks are on every week. They're on primetime. Jesus.
Denver.
They basically have the Patriots, the Colts, the Seahawks,
and the Raiders,
and someone in the AFC West.
The
Those are the only teams that are ever on at night.
Seahawks at Denver. Denver is a 3-point favorite.
I'll take the Seahawks to get an impressive road win. Jay Cutler blows up in Mike Shanahan's face, makes some mistakes, and the Seahawks just run their way to victory with Sean Alexander behind Tom Ashworth.
Tom Ashworth may be the worst player in the NFL.
Oh, come on.
He could be rated last on Madden next year when they do the ratings. That's how bad he is.
He's a good athlete.
I just hear too many people who know Cutler talking about him and how
they say he's great.
Yeah, and you know why?
So does he.
And Shanahan thinks it. I just think they know something that we don't. I think the Broncos win this game easy. Hmm. I mean, let's be honest. How much worse can he play than Plummer? I mean, and maybe they're going to open their – for some reason, Shanahan wanted to keep the playbook closed with Plummer in there. He didn't want him to do anything.
What are the Broncos plays? Because a lot of times, you know, they kind of side with the quarterback, feeling that he got treated unfairly. What are the players thinking in Denver about this move?
You have to
think they feel bad for Plummer?
You have to think that they're for it because you haven't heard that they're against it. And
right,
if they were, God knows the media would be all over
right.
it.
Right.
So, Tom, what do you got there?
I like Denver.
Yeah,
that's
I like
my play of the week with the Dolphins.
I like Denver as well, and I think Seattle still has some issues. You know, now Hasselbeck broke a finger on his left hand, but he's going to play. He was awful last week. I still think they have a ways to go before they're back to normal.
Didn't he get
Denver.
Better in the second half, though? I mean, he started out bad.
Was this the Sunday game?
Through what, 4 interceptions in the first half? I mean,
right.
You're not going to do much worse than that.
This is the Sunday night game, right?
Right. I'm going to go with the Broncos to win this game.
They had a straight-on kicker that late.
Yeah. And the reason
Mark Mosley, right?
And, of course, the reason why,
not that late. It was like 86.
Every loss that the Seahawks has helps the Patriots.
I know about it, so it's
got to
be that late.
So I'm going to go with the
Bill Cowher.
Yeah, you guys missed Fred's thing. He's just rooting against the Seahawks for draft picks.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, I always I know why Fred makes his picks.
That's why I said it, so. All right, Carolina.
I don't have to talk about it.
Monday night, Carolina at Philadelphia. And Carolina, this is off the board. So I'm going to have to make the spread on this.
Oh, God.
Why is it off the board?
I don't know.
McNabb, the
quarterback.
I know.
But he's been out for 2 weeks. It's not off the board
maybe,
because of that.
Maybe
D'Angelo Williams,
no
are there injuries there to him?
To Sean Foster?
Yeah. There's no way it'd be off the board.
I'm
going to
make Carolina a 2-point favorite in this game.
Well, you're giving us a gift because I guarantee it's not 2.
I'll take Carolina both
it
ways.
It opened at 3.
And it's gone up.
I'll take Carolina both ways. Eagles are done.
Okay.
I don't care about this game. So what I'm going to say is I like Rutgers getting 11 points against West Virginia. And my play of the year in college football, Arkansas, which I've been telling you is going to kill Urban Meyer, that little whiner at Florida, easy. Blow him out big. And I'll obviously.
What time's that game Sunday? Saturday.
That's the 6 o'clock.
What do you think?
6 o'clock?
Saturday. Yeah.
SEC Championship is at 6 o'clock?
I believe so.
Nice. I'll be home
six
plenty of times.
Six or is it 8? What's it 8?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't like watching the 8 o'clock games.
They change
keep me up
in times
late.
All over the place. I can't remember if it's 6 or 8. It's but since you're going to give us 2 points, I'll take Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take Carolina, too, although I'm completely disgusted with the Panthers. And Tom and Andy, they're calling for John Fox's job.
Oh, no, we're not calling for John Fox's job.
Not necessarily calling for his job. I just kind of need to stop hearing his name as one of the top handful of coaches in the National Football League when I think he's underachieving of late.
See, I don't think they're just not that good.
I'll take the Panthers both ways as well. Okay, so now we go back to the Patriots hosting the Lions here, and I think – you know, I don't think there's any doubt about what everybody's
What's
picking.
What's the spread?
Here. 13.5 points.
The only person taking those points is Belichick.
13.5
Well,
points.
I just hope that we never get them in a 3rd-and-18 situation because I'll just
I mean, there's no game spread-wise that's even close to this one.
Gary's updating the tally for John Rook's podcast. It's
2.
How 40, many do you need?
What is it? 40.
And the, 49, second, the second one came from John Rook, by the way.
49.98 more.
I'll take the New England Patriots to win at home over the Lions.
I think they'll win pretty big, but I don't think fans are going to be happy because it won't be big enough. I think there are some unreal expectations maybe on this team. They weren't happy after they beat the Bears at home. So I think this game, they have to win this game like 45-3 or 45-0 to make the fans happy, and I'm not sure it'll be that much of a blowout.
But will it be by more than 13.5 is
the
only question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if like 35 points is good enough for the fans, then they'll be happy because that's what it's going to be. Let me give you a name here. Chad Jackson. Watch out for him. Two touchdowns on Sunday. They're going to try to get him into the offense against a bad team.
This is like a little scrimmage for him.
He still probably won't do anything against a good team, but I'm just saying, watch out for him Sunday.
They tried to get him involved last week. He just didn't want to catch the ball.
Is he available on your fantasy team to start?
No, he's on Eric Scalavino's, who, by no coincidence, is in last place and has won one game.
I think the Patriots just toy with the Lions in this game. Never a contest, I think, by the half. We're already well into our writing, Fred.
Good. We can be home early.
That's good. That's good. I'll agree with that. I think Patriots cover in this game and win the game, obviously. It's Jacksonville and Houston and Tennessee that I'm worried about. Obviously, Miami, too. But...
You're worried about Houston?
The rest of the schedule is really scary to Fred.
Because
why are you worried about
Houston? It's a team we're not familiar with. They play the Patriots tough.
He thought
remember that one year that...
So wait a minute. Hold on.
You know, that Reggie Bush can do a lot of things.
It's on the road.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You're worried about Houston, but you're not worried about Detroit. Why is that?
Because I think Houston is much, much better than Detroit.
Why? Based on what?
This was a guy who was thinking about
based on how they're playing lately
against them.
Houston is a lot better than Detroit based on how they're playing?
Lately, yes. That's much more competitive.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
You're worried about Houston coming in here and beating the Patriots?
Evidently. I guess they're playing at a much higher level
or covering
than Detroit.
Or covering the 18-point spread, which one are you worried about?
Do they have one more win than Detroit, maybe? What am I missing?
Well, who does Houston play as compared to Detroit?
Tennessee,
Houston is 3-8.
3-8 as opposed to 2-9.
Indianapolis?
And
right.
Well, I mean, I think the AFC is better. I'll give you that. I think the AFC is a better conference.
I think
than
Houston has played much better in the second half
good
of the season than they have in the, you know.
But they really haven't. They've played bad all year.
Well, to be fair, Houston's 1-5 on the road. Detroit's 0-5 on the road.
And
so Houston, there's a scare there.
And Houston really beat Jacksonville twice. That means they beat one other team but Jacksonville. Right? They had three wins, and two of them were against Jacksonville. So
right.
For whatever reason, they own Jacksonville.
I don't know. Tom, who do you think is a better team, Detroit or Houston?
I think Houston's the better team, and I think
but
they
it's
have
marginal.
No chance. Yeah, no chance coming
I,
in
I
here.
I agree with you. I think Houston's a better team, but I think it's marginal, and I'm not in any way worried about
Houston. It's the same way that week as I do this week.
Exactly. That's my point.
If I'm going to rank the teams that I think the Patriots are going to lose to, Miami would be one. Tennessee would be two. Then Jacksonville, then Houston.
Well, before you said you were worried about Tennessee, Houston. No, you said Tennessee, Houston, and Jacksonville. That's what you were. That was your initial.
Well,
comment.
Miami's a given because it's on the road. I'm not. You know, that's a game I'm worried about. But I think this is the last easy game the Patriots will have.
Well, I think they have one more easy one, and that's in 2 weeks at Gillette Stadium against the Houston Texans, where they will also be double-digit favorites in.
No. What if by that time
even John Rippon?
What if by that time
Tom Brady breaks his leg between now? And
what if by that time all the playoffs, you know, seedings are
they can't be?
Can't
it's
be
impossible.
No chance.
No.
Now, I mean, I took a shot. Let me rephrase that. No, Fred, you might be right. The Patriots could lose to the Lions and lose to the Dolphins, and they won't have a shot at the number 2 seed.
All right.
He's had enough.
There's no way it's going
to
happen.
John Rook, fans are trying to get your show podcasted. Fred said if you get 5,000 emails,
we get 5,000 emails, you're in.
5,000 emails, we're in?
So far, you got two. Yeah.
Great.
As Mayor Daley would say, vote early and often.
That's right. Two down, 49.98 to go. Actually,
right.
I should have the other reverse tote. 4.98,
yeah.
4.98.
Yeah, Gary, you should print out all those numbers.
That works for me.
You might need a new ink cartridge.
Go John Rook podcast outboard. That's great.
John, how you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm psyched. I'm only $49.98 away.
That's all right. You know,
once
we get to that five,
is that when we get the 5,000? Does that mean we have enough people listening where you can afford to do it?
That's right. Then it's worth our time.
Okay. Perfect. Give them what they want, baby.
Nothing personal, but you know.
Hey, no offense taken. Believe me.
You know, everything is weighted.
Yeah, everything is relative.
All right. Anybody on your show today, or are you just doing a solo thing?
There's a Brian Lowe coming on.
Way to keep people interested in listening. Oh, you're just doing your solo thing. Should we not even listen?
As if I would have nothing to add.
No, no. I mean, he's better solo than we are together. I mean, you know.
No, that's not true either.
That is true.
No, no. Russell Baxter is coming on.
Nice.
Today. Yes.
He's Gary, run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He already did it.
Yoo-hoo! Baxter!
Can he eat a whole wheel of cheese?
Can he?
Ask him.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Okay.
All right. Does he speak Spanish? Ask him that, too.
Okay.
Ask him a lot of dumb questions early in
school.
Why
do
you need to know these things, really?
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Baxter speaks Spanish in the movie. He's a dog who speaks Spanish and eats whole wheel of cheese.
Okay. Now I recall the movie. Okay. And this is degenerating into
the John Rooks Show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's see. Tomorrow's Friday, so we're back on air tomorrow. We'll see you then. And watch out for those Texans.